2 weeks ago, John had a word for people that had problems with their ears. Give me a wave if there's a change in your hearing since then. Yep, a few people. Tim, great. When we were at Awakening Australia, it came out that Todd White prayed for about 1,000 people before he saw a healing. And I think one of the reasons why we don't see a breakout of miracles and healings is because we prayed and we tried that and it didn't work. I want to encourage every one of us here today that whenever there's a word like that, a word of knowledge, or you have an opportunity to pray for someone, do it. Step out. If they don't get healed, that's God's problem. It's not yours. But as you step out in faith, because if you don't step out in faith or if you don't pray, then they won't get healed. The answer's already no. But there's going to be times when the answer's yes. And we've just seen some hands go up. Healings are happening. And I pray as we move into 2019, we're going to see healings all the time. Amen. So let's be a people of faith and let's continue to step out, even when we don't feel like it, even when we want to give up, even when it didn't work. Forget all that. Just step out. Amen. Father, we just pray for your word today. Lord, as we come to this wonderful time of the year of Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Savior. We just pray for your blessing upon the word as it is open and upon our hearts as they're open to hear what you want to speak into our lives. Bring revelation today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you. Please take your seats. So Lillian, would you mind putting up that save the date slide that was before the sermon? We missed it before. That's the one. So we just wanted to let you guys know that the Hagans are coming back this year to our Together conference. And it's going to be an incredible time. We were so blessed to have them here this year. And they will be here on the 3rd and the 4th, and then on the Sunday on the 5th as well. And so we're in the process of planning what that weekend looks like. But so we want you to save the date. So mark it in your phone or in your diary or whatever you do on your calendar. Melissa said to me, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I give her the same answer, the same response every year. I want a diary. So I have a little black diary, something like the size of my Bible, and I like to write things down. Some people use a phone. Some people think a diary is like prehistoric, but I like it. All right, so mark that date down. Okay, I'm going to talk to you this morning about God moments. God moments. God moments are different for everybody. God moments are when an angel appears to you, and we're going to look at that in Scripture in just a moment. But that's not the only God moment. God moments can be something as small as a little nudge that says, go talk to that person, and everything in between. In fact, I had a God moment here this morning in one of those songs, which I'll talk about a bit later on. But God moments, they're incredibly powerful things. Sometimes people look at things like that and they think, oh, it's just a coincidence. But it's like God has aligned things in our lives. And I don't want you to think that a God moment is something that happened 20 years ago and there's nothing since. You can have God moments every day of your life if you align your life with God's purposes. So we're going to look at a few of these God moments in the Scripture and in our everyday lives. So if we look at our first Scripture, which is Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25, if you want to look it up, it's going to be up on the screen as well. And this is when an angel appeared to Joseph. So we're going back 2,050 years ago, approximately. And this is what the Bible says. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Isn't that amazing? This event that took place about 2,050 years ago is still being talked about, is still being celebrated, it still affects the world, there's millions and billions of people that have been affected by this one God moment. This moment when this supernatural experience was about to take place with Mary, where the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and she would conceive the Son of God in human form. And the angel appears to Joseph because, I mean, if it didn't appear to Joseph, what would Joseph have done? Because it's so unbelievable. And we walk around this world with natural thinking and with natural eyes. And when something supernatural happens, it's like, well, that's unbelievable. I can't believe that. And that would have been his reaction. He wouldn't have been able to believe what had happened. He would have thought, hey, hang on, something's going on here. This doesn't add up. We're going to have to finish this whole thing. But God intervened. There was a God moment where he sent an angel and the angel appeared and he said to Joseph, "Joseph, this and this is going to happen." And it changed Joseph's life. It changed eternity. It changed his direction. If you're here today, who's ever had an angel appear to them? Yeah, a couple of people. Wow, what a God moment that would be. Who's ever had a dream and you knew it was God? Yeah. Who's ever heard an audible voice? A few, yeah. Who's ever had just a little nudge or a prompting and you knew it was the Holy Spirit leading you? Yeah. See, all those things are God moments. If you haven't seen an angel, don't worry. Probably 99% of the population hasn't either. But God will come to you in different ways, shapes, or forms, and you will have God moments. Joseph had a moment that affected history. It changed eternity. Imagine if he'd walked out. What would have happened? That's what I'm talking about with a God moment. I wanted you to look at this next picture. Thanks, Lillian. Next slide. Hi, Cherie. How are you? Good morning. This is Cherie and her husband, Jason, who couldn't be here today. They got married here in Life Church September 2017. That was the first wedding we've had in this church. You realize that? One day as we were going through our pre-marriage course, we were sitting in the cry room just talking about things, and we got to a point and it was like Jesus walked into the room and there was a God moment where these guys prayed a prayer with me and there was such a peace in that room. And I remember Jason saying, "Oh, so peaceful. I just don't want to get up. I just don't want to leave." That's a God moment. See, What's a God moment? A God moment is when you know you've experienced a divine encounter, a supernatural encounter where God has done something, there's been a shift, there's been a change in your heart, in your life. And it's going to affect the way you think, the way you talk, the way you behave, the way you live your life. It affects eternity. That is a God moment. But who knows, in our lives we have all these other stressful moments. Like a year after their wedding, I went into the cupboard in the office, and for some reason I had to look something up in the wedding book. So I opened the wedding book, and there's all the papers for their wedding that I was supposed to post that week still sitting there a year later. And Cherie rings me up and says, I tried to get our marriage certificate so I could change the name on my license, and they don't have any records. Well, now they do. A year later, they do. So, Cherie Bell, welcome this morning. That was one of those ungodly moments where I had to ring up birth, deaths and marriages and explain. Yeah, no worries. Go and get an affidavit. And anyway, so it's all good. They're married. Hallelujah. That was a God moment. Can we have our next slide? Thanks, Lillian. This was another God moment. This week, you see, there's a lady sitting in the front row next to Cherie who had a bit of a vision of helping people a number of years ago with hampers. And I can't believe that last year there was just a few of you doing this. Two people did how many hampers last year? 155 hampers, two people. On Wednesday night, we had this group, and there's people in the other room as well. And the flash in the front here, whoever that is. Em. You just wanted to photobomb, didn't you? All right. So we had all these people putting together 70 hampers, wrapping 150 presents for children, and making up over 70 pantry filler boxes so that all the connections through the schools, through the op shop, through Save the Children Fund, that these hampers would be delivered to change people's lives this Christmas. Dave Doherty showed me a blog that was written by a lady the other day. And basically they were not in a good financial position. And her kids said, when that hamper and presents were delivered, that, wow, this is a Christmas miracle, Mum. Sandy was saying this morning how a family here was delivering the hamper to a family, and they got there, and one of the kids said, why do they need a hamper? They got a swimming pool. There's two cars in the driveway. And what they didn't understand was that the kids had lost both their parents that year. And I thought, oh, that changes everything. So Sandy and everyone that helped, please stand up. We want to bless and honour you this morning. Everyone that helped that day, please stand up. Bless you. That's a God moment right there. All right. Thank you. Take your seats. So it was like, if you were part of that night, it was just like the energy in the room was just like, this is a God moment, because it's not about an angelic visitation. It's about helping people. And who knows what this will say and speak into people's lives. Next year, we're going to do it bigger and better. I just said that Sandy this morning. What if we had people massaging backs while it was going on, and we could turn it into a hamper pamper party, all right? All right. So it's the same Wednesday next year. It'll be on our calendar. It'll be in our newsletter. If you're not doing anything, come along. If you are doing anything, change your plans. Come along anyway, all right? It's going to be amazing. All right. That is another example of a God moment. All right, let's go to our next scripture. Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. This is another instance 2,050 years ago approximately. So we've talked about an angel visiting Joseph. But because this was such a supernatural, unbelievable, extraordinary event, an angel appears to Mary. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Wow. Another incredible angel appears, God moment experience. And let's face it, if all of a sudden you were pregnant and you were virgin, you would probably need an angel appearing to you. So this is an incredible experience. But look at Mary's response. She's frightened. She doesn't understand what sort of a greeting is this. But then at the end, she says, "May it be done to me as you have said." You see, God loves a person that is available. God loves a person that their heart is yielded to him. God loves a person that says, "I don't quite understand what's going to happen, but I'm in. Whatever you need to do, God, I'm available, I'm here. You can do it through me." In a sense, that all adds up into the Australian version of Mary said, "It may it be to me as you have said." That's what it means. That's what it means, all right? Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Australian, English, that's what it means. Be available. Have a yielded heart. Say, "God, whatever you need, choose me. Do it through me." And because she went with that, look what happened. Look how it changed the earth. Look how it changed eternity. Mary said yes. When God comes and appears to you, maybe in the form of an angel, maybe in a dream, maybe in a prompting of the Holy Spirit, what is your response? Is it you're terrified because you feel so inadequate? "God, how could I do that?" Well, when you feel inadequate or when you feel that you can't do it, that's a good place to be, because then you know that if it's going to happen, it's only God doing it through you. And all you need to do is be available and say, "Yes, I will do it." That's the key. And that's what Mary did. And look what it did in the course of history. If we go to our next picture. So Melissa's mum, Shirley, my mother-in-law, recently went to Israel. And because she's so famous, she had to have bodyguards with her, with machine guns. So she was in Israel. And she decided to go to Nazareth. So our next picture is mum in a church. And this church is called the Church of Annunciation. Did I enunciate that correctly? The Church of Annunciation. This church is built on the site that was Mary's house where the angel appeared to her and said, the good news. This is where it all happened. And my famous mother-in-law was just there, so it's true. So this church in Nazareth, the Church of Annunciation, stands over the cave that tradition holds to be the home of the Virgin Mary. Here it is believed that the Archangel Gabriel told the young Mary at about the age of 14 that she would become the mother of the Son of God. And here Mary uttered her consent, "Let it be done to me according to your word." The outcome of Mary's consent is carved in Latin across the facade over the triple doorway entrance. And it says, "The word was made flesh and dwelt among us," John 1:14. Can we have the next picture, thanks? While Mum was there, there was this Papua New Guinea monk, priest, whatever he was, and he was just walking around this church, just praying. And as Mum sat there, he came up to her and he just said, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "Yes." She was just sitting there and just enjoying the experience, just enjoying the presence of God. He laid his hand on her and he prayed for her. And as he prayed for her, she said, she just began to cry, and it was like something inside of her just broke. And she didn't know what it was or what it meant, but she said it was the most amazing experience. She had a God moment in this church, on the site where Mary got a visitation from the angel over 2,000 years ago. And she was there just enjoying the presence of God, but she had her own God moment. And you know what? I want to encourage you today. When you place yourself in an environment where you place your life and your lifestyle over to God, and you place yourself in an environment like going to church and honoring God in your family, when you do things like that and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know what? You are placing yourself in a position to have God moments regularly. I want to encourage you, don't run from that. Don't think it's unimportant. Don't get so busy with life that when God just wants to come and invade your life and bless you and give you those God moments that you're so busy that you miss it. Be available. Be yielded. Place yourself in that position where those things are happening regularly in your life. So if we could go to our last slide, the God moments. I'm going to ask the guys if they want to come up and get ready for the song. They're going to do an amazing song, which they did a couple of weeks ago at our Friday night. I was in the back doing a wardrobe change, and I poked my head out, and I looked up on the stage, and here were these guys singing "Mary, Did You Know?" There was also Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, who looked pretty little, in the manger, and there was the dancers holding candles either side. And I just poked my head out the door and I looked out in the middle of that song, and it was just like you could feel the presence of God in the room. It was just like, man, that's a God moment right there. You know, this morning when we were just worshiping and we sang that first carol, what's "O Holy Night," there was one line, I'm singing through that and just, you know, this is great, this is amazing, having a great time. And there was one line in there that hit me. And it was just like, probably sung it how many times, maybe hundreds of times over the years. And it was just like, God spoke to me about a particular person and their lifestyle and to pray for them. And it was like I saw a picture of this person come back to God. That was a God moment. And I just pray that for each and every one of you, when you're in a church service, because tell you what, it seems like sometimes things happen in a service when you've made that decision. I'm coming to church. I'm setting aside that time. I want to be here because it's important for me. It's important for my family. It's a priority in my life. Amazing things happen in church services. And that was just like a one line that it was just impacted me so much. I don't think I've ever cried in a carol in my life before, but I did today. And for you, it could be different. There'll be people that have God moments in the service in different parts. But let me encourage you. Be like Mary today. Have a heart that says, whoa, whatever it is, God, I'm available, I'm yielded. And Mary went on and continued to place herself in environments where she continued to have those God moments. I pray that your life, I pray that my life is like that as we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas time this year. But he's more than just a baby. And Sue summed it up so perfectly in her communion, because he paid the price so that the sin and the error in our life could be washed away and we could enter in a relationship with a living God that loves us, that changes not only our lives but all the people around us, our families, the generations. I just want you to close your eyes and sit back and listen to the words of this song, and then we're going to close our service.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy gives sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try?
Is the great I
did you know?